Welcome to Globe and Crown Radio. I'm Joey.
And this is Nathan.
This is Season 2, Episode 4, and we are Barnabussin.
We are indeed. It's not a U, it's an A. So it's Barnabassin?
Barnabassin.
Yeah. Barnabas.
I like that.
Item 1, Globe and Crown updates. It's been a while since we had just information about the company in general, what we're doing, what we're up to.
Right.
We've been here a year. We had a book come out.
We did indeed.
We've been pretty good on getting the podcast out on the regular.
We have.
We've got a blog.
We do.
We've got a YouTube channel.
We do indeed that, yes.
What's next, Nate?
I know we've got a couple of things in the pipeline. Talking about the podcast, we've got a couple of shows that are going to be, well, potentially not necessarily shows, but some other podcasting type things that are going to be coming up hopefully here real soon. I know that producer Tom is potentially going to become, producer of content, Tom, in that he will be making some potential show coming up here real soon. And I know that we've got some plans for some music stuff that's coming up here reasonably soon as well.
Yeah, so those, the more intensive ones will take a little more time, but we're working on those, doing all the background work. So hopefully we'll have some very different kind of program coming out soon.
Yeah, really looking forward to that.
You've got two print things that we're working on also. So we're putting together a zine, which is a self-made, low number of print, handmade magazine, and it's based on one topic, more or less. We're getting the articles in from everybody, and that's going to be really fun and different, I think. And so you'll be able to buy those only physical copy.
Oh, I like that. That's old school.
Anyway, first thing, new kind of programming. Second thing, working on the zine. Third thing, I am writing a second book. I'm having a ton of fun doing it, and I'm not going to try to kill myself with a deadline like I generally do with everything in my life, because I want it to be fun. But I'm already like 155 pages into the second book, and it's fiction, so it'll be different than the first book.
Yeah, I know that just from hearing Joey talk about it and some of the resources and work that he's put into to getting this thing put together for y'all, he seems to be having a lot of fun with it. And I've had fun in the little brief snippets I've been able to see. So looking forward to be able to have that out there for you as well. Yeah.
One thing that's been really helpful with that, I'm using the program Scrivener, which you don't have to use any kind of special program. Just use a program and write. But I've been enjoying using Scrivener because you can compile it quickly into different formats, so I can put it on the Kindle and see what it looks like. And it's kind of fun for me just to keep me encouraged to put it on my Kindle and see how far it is and how much like an actual book it looks like. So that's a little fun trick that you can do. And I also got a book called Mile High Word Count. I think it's by Rick Smith. Is that his name? Do you remember?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but that sounds right.
And this guy, he also wrote another book called like the Self-Publishing Masterclass or something like that, that I got for like $3 on Kindle just to see if it had any useful advice when I was putting out the first book. And it really does have a lot of great advice. He's a very positive guy and gives you practical tips. It used to take me about an hour to write 500 words or so. And now I can, this morning I wrote 500 words in 12 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I don't want to give away his book because that's how he makes money, but the gist that's really helped me, the main thrust, if you will, is you give yourself a time, so say 10 minutes, and you are just going to type that entire time. You're not going to edit or worry. You're just going to go ahead and let your mind go with what the story wants to do. And that really goes in with the Quentin Tarantino tip, where I know he at one point said, I just want to see what happens next. And that's kind of how he writes. And so this kind of forcing yourself to just type for a certain amount of time really helps your both your creativity and your word count. So it's not just getting something out. I think it makes you more loose because you don't have time to critique yourself. You just let your imagination go. So
it's very cool. Very.
Yeah. So I've had a lot of fun doing that.
Well, I think Stephen King ascribes to kind of a similar, at least from the way that he describes the way he writes in the Dark Tower series. And I know I've read on writing, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
That he likes to be surprised about where things go as well. He's like, you know, I had no idea that that character was going to do that when I started. They just happened to do it, and that's the way that the story went. So even the writer being surprised about where things are going. So yeah, super cool.
Speaking of somebody else saying that something that you're doing is super cool, the title of this episode, Barnabassing. Named after the great Barnabas, whose name wasn't even Barnabas, I just found out.
Yeah,
so Nate, did you ever win a Barnabas Award?
I did indeed. It was a so I went to private Christian high school. The Barnabas Award, Barnabas was a nickname, by the way, I guess to give like a quick recap of who Barnabas is if you're not familiar. Yeah, he was an apostle of Jesus named Joseph. That was his real name. But he was like super awesome at basically like being faithful to serve. He sold, a bunch of his property, potentially even all of his property, because he ended up spending a lot of his time on missionary journeying with Paul. And gave it to those who had need in the church. And so they named him Barnabas, which translates into son of encouragement, which is a lot cooler, I guess, and more helpful for people than son of anarchy. Although I hear that show was also, you know, pretty good show. But yeah, son of encouragement, that may be a good show about a biker gang of people who sell property that helps.
Would have ended better.
Yeah, would have, probably.
So the Barnabas Award is an award you get for encouraging your teammates, right?
You did, yeah. Generally, it meant that you were not good at the thing you were doing, and so they gave you the encouragement award because at least you were positive about everybody who was good at it. That was my experience, but it was nice. It was nice to be recognized. It was like the encouragement I could provide was still beneficial and worthwhile.
And so this episode is called Barnabasing, because it's all about encouraging creativity in others. So we've talked a lot about exploring our own creativity, and this episode is for folks who... Sure, you are creative and you're probably around creative people because you kind of self-select into those groups. But also, say you're married to somebody that's creative or you're friends with somebody that's creative and you just want to know, I like what they're doing. How can I help them do it better? So there that's what this episode's all about. We've broken it down. We talked to a handful of professional creative types, including Jen Gerhart, who runs God Scout. By the way, all this will be in the show notes. Danny, who is Wrangler Danny, and also our good friend Christy at Hey Bear Design Co. For help with what helps you be a creative person, what really encourages you and works and helps you be the person that you're supposed to be. We kind of broke it down into five quick tips or categories of what is helpful for creative types. The first one is to understand their goals. What is your creative friend trying to do?
Okay.
So I think this is something in life in general that sometimes we take for granted, that we assume that everybody's going for the same thing, that they have the same goals or they want the same thing out of life or the same thing out of a project. So for example, if you tell someone, all right, I'm making a book, maybe they're like, well, you know, it's really hard to actually get a book these days because people aren't reading as much as they are and all the brick and mortar stores are closing and romance ebooks are taking everything over. They might be trying to like let you know, I understand that's your goal. It's probably not very realistic, but it could be that your goal is actually just that you run a business and you want to supplement the information you're giving to people through the book. So it doesn't really matter what's selling, because that your purpose is just to have that supplemental material for your clients.
Right.
Or it could be that you just want to have, you just have a story you want to tell. And if 8 people read it, that's fine with you, because your goal, your bucket list item, is just to finish a book. And whether or not other people really read it doesn't matter for you. It's really important not to assume that the goal that you think they have is their goal. So find out why it is that they're, why they want to do whatever it is they want to do, whether it's to remodel their house or take a dance class on the weekends or write a book or whatever it is. Figure out what it is they want to do and encourage them to meet those goals.
Yeah, I think that's the really important aspect of it, is understanding what their goal is and then helping them to meet that, and not trying to either discourage them by saying, you know, well, that goal is not even big. You know, maybe you see it and you say like, oh, wow, this is way more potential than perhaps you even realize. And maybe that's something that they didn't understand. And so, you know, definitely something that I guess could be encouraging to say like, hey, this may be even better than you thought it was. But definitely seeing like, if somebody wants to just make something to create for creativity's sake, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's quite a bit right with that. And I think it's a very human, wonderful thing to want to do, is to just make something good, you know, regardless of whether it provides you commercial or public recognition in any way, shape, or form. So,
okay. Number one, understand their goals. Number two, be interested. There are different ways to be interested in what they're doing. The first is they might bring it up, or they might not even really bring it up very much, because it's kind of it can be kind of embarrassing, or you don't want to say too much about whatever it is you're working on, or maybe you're afraid it's not good, so you don't say anything about it. But if you ask about it, then you can probably pry some information out, and you can let them know through your questions that it's something you're really interested in, or you can encourage them that you think they'd be good at it. And don't just ask once. Go ahead and ask them every once in a while, like, hey, how's that thing going? Or maybe if you see a related article or something, you can forward it to them and say, hey, this might be helpful for you. And just continue to touch base with them on it to see if, kind of like how if you run a race, there's designated water people that will like hand you water or cheer for you or tell you how far you have to go and things like that. It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I think this is definitely the thing that usually gets me the most excited. So I know that that's, you know, for getting me motivated or anything like that about a project is if somebody actually, if I mention something and somebody ever asks about it or tries to follow up on it, that's the thing that either makes me feel bad that I haven't been working on it because I didn't think that it was worthwhile. And now they've just reminded me that no, you know, they were interested, you know, following in for those updates or whatever. It's like, okay, well now I'm that much more encouraged and motivated to get it to that next point. Even if that's not my goal isn't public recognition, just the idea that somebody else is interested in it makes it feel like that much more of a worthwhile endeavor when sometimes you just kind of get down on the idea of like, should I even put the effort into making this thing at all?
Yeah, those checkpoints help. Like, and oh, the other thing that Samantha does for me that's really helpful is if she's excited about something I'm doing, then she'll tell everybody. And that just really shows that, like, if you're willing to go out on a limb and tell people, like, oh, I'm really proud of whoever for doing this, that's really meaningful to the creative person, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Number three. Be patient. And this kind of goes with the checkpoint thing. So if you've ever worked on a big project at work, or if you've ever worked on your own creative project, it can kind of have seasons, or you can take a couple steps forward and one back. So there can be fits of starting and stopping. You could rescope it or change directions. So just be gentle with those people as they go through it, and just be willing to listen and empathize. You know, sometimes people work on a book for years or decade, and then it ends up being a masterpiece. But if they had given up, it wouldn't have happened. Or sometimes I know with a lot of famous movies, it's something that somebody had been working on the side for years, and finally they pick it up and decide it's time. So just know that it's a long kind of gestation or birthing process. So be patient with them and be kind as they're going through their artistic, what do you want to call it, their diva moments.
Right.
And also, it doesn't mean you necessarily have to talk about the project all the time. So sometimes I know if I go for a walk or I'm in the shower, that's when I have breakthroughs. So just have like real conversations with those people and take an interest in them as people. And then sometimes that can just be helpful to either A, get their mind off, or B, spur on other ideas.
Yeah, definitely. You know, if you want to take a walk with your friend to help encourage them in that way, that's definitely good. I don't recommend showering with anyone that isn't, you know, intimately familiar with you already and potentially already in a marriage relationship.
Not unless it's a public pool and it's one of those showers that's like outside of the dressing rooms to get the chlorine off or the sand.
Yes, I'll allow that. Globe and Crown can endorse that effectively.
Like if it's Top Gun and they just finished beach volleyball.
Yeah, you can go and high-five in the ones where you like high-five the shower head thing and it sprays on you and it's like super hard and, you know, yeah. So
that's okay. That's part of step 3A. Okay. Understand the goals, be interested, be patient. Number four, make it easy on them. A lot of us creative types, it's kind of a part-timer thing or a hobby or a passion, and it's not what you get paid to do. So that means you have other responsibilities that maybe ultimately aren't more important to you, but are more urgent or require more care. So one thing that we heard from the people, the folks that we asked, that can be really helpful is to give your time to take on some of their non-creative duties so that they can focus on their creative pursuit. So basically you're saying to them, I agree with you that this thing that you want to do is important. And because it's important, I'm going to take time out of my day to make it easier on you. So that's both encouraging and it's also practically helpful. So examples could be childcare or financial help. Or one person mentioned that having people pray for your work is really helpful, or pray for you that it be used well or that you write well on behalf of a spiritual-based project, or I guess any project, is very helpful and meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would imagine it's also encouraging just because you know it's your creative pursuit is about more than you. So I talked to my buddy Eric today about it, and he said that one thing that really helps him when he's writing is he remembers this isn't about me and it's not about any wisdom I have. I'm just kind of trying to be a conduit, and if it reaches anybody, then that's great. And so that really inspires his writing.
Well, I mean, one of the things that we saw even from the very beginning in Genesis was that, you know, God gives Adam and Eve the command to be fruitful and multiply. And it wasn't just have a whole bunch of people. It was the idea was to build this culture and build this stuff that was, you know, and fill the earth with culture. So in a very real way, praying for and encouraging people through that by helping them in whatever way is following that first command as best we can. And ideally, you know, putting out culture and stuff that is good, that points people back to God, the ultimate creator. And I said that, I think that's absolutely not just a good thing to do or encouraged to do, but definitely has real effect and real power. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And another piece of making it easy on them is if they are putting something out, then don't be afraid to buy it or let them know that you bought it and read it and talked to them about it. Samantha and I are watching through the Office, the US version, and there's a great episode, and I want to say season 2 or 3, where Pam has an art show for the art classes she's taking, and Michael Scott shows up and is just like really encouraging of her work and wants to buy it. And that really brings tears to her eyes because somebody actually values what she's doing and thinks that she's worthy. I know for me, it's really nice when people actually spend their hard-earned money, and that's something we've talked about on the podcast before, where we really appreciate that. And likewise, it's really fun to see people that are putting themselves out there and let them know via them ducats that, okay, I appreciate what you're doing, and I like that you're putting yourself out there, and I'm going to vote with my dollars and say yes.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a much bigger impact, you know, doing some of this stuff than, I mean, I'm sure the huge commercial success guys are really happy for each book that's purchased as well, but especially for some of this independent, you know, much smaller press, if any kind of press at all, deals. I mean, you think about like the impact that you're making with each dollar versus, you know, going out and buying the latest, you know, I don't think they're making Hunger Games books anymore, but, you know, other books of popular dystopian young adult fiction and whatnot, Maze Runner or something like that. I've got a couple of friends that have started doing a tremendous amount of painting and are pretty talented. And their favorite thing is my friend Rich. He will post stuff on Facebook all the time of like people who I guess have bought his paintings and then posted them or, you know, hung them in their house somewhere. Took a picture and then uploaded it on Facebook, and he like shares it and he's like, look how awesome. Like somebody actually like cared enough about something I took time to paint. To not only like buy it from me, but to hang it up in their house where like people can see it. Like who would have thought that some like, you know, little idea of what I wanted to paint would become, you know, something that was a fixture to somebody's house or like a major focal point to the way that they had their decor. And so like a huge thing that could be. So
yeah, absolutely.
Definitely so, says something more than just like, hey, that was nice that you did that. Although those are nice as well.
Yes. We're understanding goals. We're interested on the regular. We're patient. We're making it easy. And the last thing that popped up from pretty much everybody that we talked to was that you should be creative. All of the creatives that we talked to said that whenever they see people they know being creative, it also inspires them to think, yeah, I can do this. That's kind of the point of Globe and Crown, and especially Globe and Crown Radio, is that from the beginning, what we hope we're doing is inspiring you to be who you're supposed to be, which is a creative person and somebody that's furthering and manifesting God's kingdom on earth. It's like almost like a positive peer pressure where if you see other people doing it and you think, yeah, I can do that, or it's something within my reach that I can do as a part of my ministry, a part of my life, just as expression of who I am and what I believe and what I'm into. So
yeah, it's definitely an encouragement. I mean, this podcast, even in the year of time that we've been here, because Joey puts the work into wanting to do stuff like this, it encourages me to want to do it. And that kind of bounces off of each other. He's definitely done a whole lot better about actually putting out content for like real written stuff than I have. I've talked games and then never delivered on them, but that's encouraged me this year that I'm like, man, I've gotta do something. I know that I can. I've seen Joey's proven that it's possible to do this stuff. I just need to put myself out there and get it done. And like I said, constantly every, you know, fortnight, really more than that, because we're engaging more than that in real life, you know, an encouragement to say like, oh man, you know, this is really something that has value and is good. And, you know, regardless of whether it sees 2 people or, you know, 1 million, you know, this is something that's worth doing. And so really grateful to have that in my life. And I know that, you that can make a huge difference in others as well. So yeah, definitely take the opportunity and take the time and put some work into doing something creative on your own, even if it's something, you know, as simple as making a good meal, which is actually probably a lot more impressive sometimes than even the greatest art. Because if I have a good meal, I will remember and talk about it a whole lot more than I will like a good book. Like there's like two people I can tell about a good book, and I'm like, you know, but if I have a good meal, I'm going to tell everybody that I see that week, like, this was good food.
Makes sense to me. So thanks again to Jen, Danny, Christy. That's godscout.com, wranglerdanny.com. And next segment, we're going to talk about what we're into right now. So Nate, what are you into right now?
What am I into right now? Well, we've kind of got like a couple of different categories we'll go through, but like reading stuff right now, unfortunately, I haven't been reading anything that's actually enjoyable. I'm currently in the process of reading through a billion text forms and paperwork and stuff like that, trying to get ready to file. It's my first full year of partnership in the business that I have with my family. And so a lot more paperwork this year than there was even last year. That's been most of my reading here lately. Joey, anything with you?
I've been reading. I just finished a book called Death World.
That's intense.
Harry Harrison. Death World, despite the name, is a pretty fun book. The basic premise is you've got a gambler in space, and he's hired by a mysterious figure to try to win money using his mental powers. He's got some psi powers, they call him. Wow. And then he finds out that the guy that hired him is from a crazy planet, and he goes to that planet, and then it's just a really fun read. It's a pretty short read. I think there's two or three in the series. I don't know if you have to read. I don't think you have to read the additional ones to get a full story, but it's got some interesting environmental ideas and ideas about how culture interacts with the environment and how different groups interact with one another. So I really enjoyed it as both a fun read and also a thought-provoking read. And I'm about 600 pages into my philosophy book, so I'm coming around the home stretch. I think I've got 150 real pages left, and the rest is just index, I think.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. Older science fiction can be really, really fascinating sometimes, because it's like the science fiction concept is really like they've got one or two little things that are just like, that's unbelievable. And the rest of it is all, you know, sociology or philosophy or something like that, that they were just trying to, they were trying to talk about, but they didn't have like, they didn't want to write a straight up philosophy book or something. Yeah. As far as what I'm watching here these days, my girlfriend and I actually turned on and watched Planet Earth the other day, which was a BBC. It's not really, I guess it's a documentary. It was basically just Sir David Attenborough talking over HD video of like animals and like environment stuff and whatnot. We watched Mountains and Fresh Water, I believe, and both were really interesting. It was a series that aired, I mean, probably like 10 years ago. It was like when Blu-ray first came out.
Yeah, it was one of the big Blu-ray sellers, I think.
And I picked it up like right when it came out because I really liked the series on, I guess it was on History or Discovery or something like that.
Was it on BBC?
I don't think it was on BBC because I think the one that I saw was actually Sigourney Weaver that narrated it.
Oh, yeah.
And because she narrated the version that was aired here.
That's right.
And I wanted the one that was him because Sir David Attenborough just has like everything he says sounds like important. Like he could just, I mean, it's just the way that he describes like, you know, this penguin is, you know, like falling down and it's funny. Like he's telling like a joke, but it just sounds like super serious. And you're just like, oh, man.
Have you ever heard Benedict Cumberbatch say penguin?
I have not.
He can't do it. He says penguins.
What?
Penguins. Yeah. He narrated a nature documentary and he says it like six different ways, but the best one was penguins.
Yeah, I like that a whole lot. But I watched that, and then I actually recently watched the original Tron. So talking about older science fiction, it's on HBO right now. And so it was on HBO Go. I'd seen it on there for, I guess, like all this month. And I was like, I've got to watch it. I've always wanted to. I liked Tron Legacy. It's one of my favorite soundtracks. I'm going to go back and I'm going to see what the original is like. And I watch it. It's very strange. It's very slow, even though it's only it's a 90 minute movie, but it feels
like a 3 hour movie.
Yeah, it felt a lot longer than that. It kind of, I guess, in some ways sets up what you know, some stuff for Legacy, but I don't feel like it was anything that was actually necessary to enjoy Legacy just standalone. I don't know how I felt about it in general. It was, I'm glad I watched it because it's one of those classic deals, but you view it at your own discretion, I guess. It's a stranger film.
I like the look of it, the aesthetics of it. Just like Legacy, we saw Legacy at the IMAX, I think in 3D, and it was perfect for that kind of it looks so amazing. It's so unique. I really liked it.
Yeah, even for the age of like the technology and definitely, you know, the way that the effects look, it was still, yeah, it was incredibly impressive the way they made it look. So
we are watching The Office. So Samantha had never seen the US version of The Office.
What?
And yeah.
Oh man.
I know. But that means, so we just, I had mentioned before, we were watching Friends and I had never seen Friends and she had never seen The Office. So together as a couple, we are going through some of the highest rated shows that neither one of us ever saw. So it's been really good. The first time I watched it, I just remember thinking John Krasinski was like this amazing icon of who I wanted to be, Jim Halpert. And this time I'm watching, and my favorites are Pam and Dwight.
Yeah. And
Pam has a really interesting arc. The first few seasons in particular, Pam is a really interesting kind of small town character that's really afraid to break out of routine, is just scared to put herself out. And you see her kind of come out of a shell gradually with stops and starts over the course of years. That's one of those great shows where just little victories in the little, nobody's life, it feels like the biggest thing. It kind of reminds me of Friday Night Lights in that way. So we've been laughing a lot, but also really enjoying it.
You playing anything? I know that the video games are still maybe not the most important thing these days, but anything like that?
I am playing the crap out of Fallout 4, which came out in November last year, so it's not exactly groundbreaking in playing Fallout 4, but I love the Fallout games. So if you're not familiar with these, it's a giant world. I call them like a sandbox game, where basically you can just run around, do whatever you want, open world. The look of it is like the 1950s, early 60s, but it's way in the future. So there's been nuclear disasters, but all of the cars and clothes and clicks and stuff all look like the 50s, but in the future. Kind of like at Epcot Center, that World of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. And so I love the look. The play is really fun. You can do whatever you want, talk to whoever you want. And I've probably put about 40 hours in it in the last few weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive then. I know for me, PlayStation, starting with PlayStation 3, when they had the PlayStation Plus service, you could get free downloadable games every month, usually like two games. For the PS4, it's mostly been like arcade style games or whatever, the less expensive, only downloadable, usually not available in like a hard disk or anything like that. This month, it happened to be a game called Helldivers, which again, speaking of old, you know, science fiction or whatever, this is the game that is the closest I could imagine to being Starship Troopers the movie, not the book, which was a little bit more serious and actually had good points. the movie kind of does as well. It's kind of interesting when you actually take it for more than just the bug explosions, but you play cooperatively, either all in the same system if you have four controllers, which is actually kind of cool. You don't see a whole lot of games like that anymore, or online. But you fight against like these three alien races, and you're trying to push all the way to their home world and take it over. And there's actually like a persistent game world. So if you take over like a alien's home world, then that alien race is no longer involved in the war until all of the planets have been taken. Or if one of those planets manages to push all the way back to Super Earth, which is the Earth that, you know, exists in this game. But it's so ridiculous. It's so over the top. Like the reasons that you're fighting them, they give it to you. And it's like the bugs, basically, when they die, their bodies decompose really rapidly and become oil. The cyborgs, I don't remember what all of their, I think they're basically like communists. And so it's just like the excuses are just really like ridiculously, you know, obvious, but it's really entertaining. There's just a whole bunch of things that you can pick up, and it's a kind of isometric view. So it kind of reminds you of the old Contra games, except you can kill each other. Tons of different unlocks. There's vehicles and all kinds of other stuff, and just like nonstop crazy action where every time you kill a guy or a bug or a cyborg or whatever it is, another one is spawned somewhere on the map. So like there's never a way to like clear it all out and just go do your thing. Like they're constantly, new stuff is coming. Really entertaining game. I like the fact that it's couch co-op because you don't see a whole lot of that these days. Whole lot of fun. So if you've got a PS4 and PS Plus, you can pick it up for free. Maybe not by the time this podcast gets out, but it's still worth the $20. It was a free game for February for sure. And then kind of the last thing I guess that I'm been up to this week is I actually just traded in my Speed Demon car for something I thought it was a little more practical. I mean, technically, according to insurance, it was a little more practical because it's less money per month on that. But I picked up a new Jeep Wrangler Unlimited, just driving it around with a top down sensor, or top off, I guess, because we have unseasonably hot weather. So I'm enjoying that quite a bit here lately, and it's sparking some creative mood in me, I think, or at least making me want to adventure a little bit more. So how about you, Joey?
I guess the main thing I've been doing is I'm still running. So I finished my little 2-month 5K program on the Runkeeper app, and I'm going to redo it again just to get my speeds up. And I don't actually run the 5K. I run like, I don't know, half of it or 60%, but yeah. I want to just run 100%. So going from being sedentary and overweight to running on the regular, I feel good about my first 2 months. And those next 2 months, I want to just run the whole thing and pick up my speed.
Very cool. I mean, that's not just living good. That's living healthy. So I encourage that kind of deal. And I want to be patient with you as you learn how to run better. And also, I'm interested in it and I want to make it easy for you. I could chase you in the Jeep. That'll make it even easier.
Yeah, so just y'all go out there and Barnabas the crap out of it, and we'll try to do the same, and we'll see y'all next time.
Yeah, definitely will. So I'm Nathan.
I'm Joey.
And cheers.
Cheers. Nailed it.
We nailed it.